This is the funniest.
I can hear you.
Can you hear us now?
Do you want to know what happened?
This was the funniest fucking thing that just happened. I have no idea.
Why did I end the meeting?
Because I had made you host when I logged off to check my settings because you couldn't hear me. When it turns out it was a Lexi problem, not a Katrina
problem. I'm blaming my daughter because she turned down my volume.
She's like, I can't hear you. And I thought I was having all these problems. And then Becca was, it was a whole mess. Anyway, hi, everyone.
Mommy. We're here now.
Since we last talked, we've had a couple of birthdays. We had Becca turned 40 the other day, and Lexi, I forget how old Lexi is, but she had a banger of a party.
30 died.
Ooh.
So, yeah. So lots of birthdays happening.
Happy birthday, Becca.
Thank you. Happy birthday to you too. I love that we have birthdays like 2 days from each other. It's kind of fun.
I love it. I love it. Amazing. All these the beautiful doctors in my life.
Shh.
And what day is your birthday in October, Katrina?
My birthday is the 14th and my sobriety anniversary is the 17th.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
So you get to celebrate both of those like the same week, basically.
Yeah. And then my husband's birthday is the 20th.
Ooh.
So it's like just a big week for us generally. Like it's just That's a fantastic. Nice happy week to celebrate life. Cause my sobriety anniversary is kind of a bigger deal to me than my birthday is. But this year, since I'm turning 50, my friends are like, oh, we have to have a party. So that's going to happen. And we're going to have I'm insisting on having a pinata because of course I am, because I'm ridiculous like that. And,
well, hopefully you hit it better than Danielle in the rage room.
Oh my God.
I mean,
my favorite though was when she threw the cup and it just bounced.
That pretty much describes like her whole situationship with the family.
Seriously. Are you ready now? Are you ready now? How about now? You want to date now? How about now? How about now? just an update of where I'm at with my chronic illness updates. I'm still in MS flare land. Today is a particularly interesting day where I feel like I'm ping ponging all over my house because it's like, I kind of go, like I use different pieces of furniture and like walls and stuff in my house.
No. Charlie, no.
She's
she muted now.
Mute her. She's talking to her dog there, so not her daughter. So don't let that all confused. So yeah. Anyway, I'm just having a day where my balance is off, all this kind of stuff. Like my brain has not really been engaged at all. I'm still on the Below Deck channel on Peacock is my primary source of entertainment. I'm not working these last couple days just because like I can't brain. Like it's really hard to like type a sentence and stuff right now. So the MS brain is strong with this one tonight, y'all. I'm dumb.
I'm so sorry. The good news is this episode was so boring.
But it was funny to me. It was funny. Anyway, so that's where I'm at. I watched the show, Seeking Sister Wife. I forgot. Anyway, see, this is
season 5, episode 8, Seeking the Unexpected. I just want to apologize about my dog. He was trying to get into my book bag to eat my macarons that I got for my birthday from this bakery.
Well, take them out of the book bag.
I just zipped it up. I mean,
but that's not going to stop Charlie.
But then I'm going to eat them. So I have to zip them up.
Yes, that doesn't make any sense.
Out of sight, out of mind. I don't know.
Take them out of your bag and put them in a cupboard. That would have the same situation for you, only you wouldn't have Charlie trying to eat your bag.
I literally have green beans in a bag that Kaya was eating.
Okay.
This is my life tonight. I'm sorry. Here, Kaya.
It's just one of those nights. So we're still doing that, and I'm doing medication change too. So
how's that going?
Not great. I'm better now, but it's like the after effects, the first like the 24 to 48 hours after taking it is a shot. It's like all really flu-like symptoms, can't sleep, like everything. It's just really icky.
I'm sorry.
But it's supposed to lessen over time and then like disappear entirely. It's just temporary. So just gonna hunker down, get through the rest of this medication transition, and then get out and figure out all what physical therapy needs I need, or you know, how to get back in the gym. Now that Lexi's gotten the pain under control, I'm like, now I can figure out what I need to do, what I can work on and all that stuff. So anyway, if anyone else out there is suffering, Becca, are you doing okay with yours?
Yeah, on and off, like it ebbs and flows, right? Like I'm not in like the horrible, horrible flare I was in a couple weeks ago that we were talking about, but I'm definitely still like not back at baseline yet. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm like getting there.
Okay.
So not quite as bad, but probably stinks, y'all.
I just like sharing these things just because you never know who else might be dealing with it, right? And so I don't want you to feel alone. Like I listened to the Messy podcast, the Christina Applegate and Jamie Lynn Ziegler, and they had their episode. They were talking about like diapers and stuff because our bladder issues, and we've talked about like my pee pads and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like so helpful to me to hear other people talk about what they're going through. And and so, you know, I'm just sharing a little bit of that. So, you know,
But you don't look sick.
But you don't look sick.
It's so frustrating when people say stuff like that. I'm like, what does sick look like?
But you don't look like an asshole. And yet here you are.
Exactly.
So, not to, you know, say bad things about my dead grandpa, but very sweet dude.
But here we go.
But anytime I was like, oh man, I don't feel good today because of my chronic illness, he'd be like, I'm glad I'm not as old as you are.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, you can't say that, dude. Like, there are people at all ages who are chronically ill.
Yeah, it's not.
Anyway, he was a lovely man, just constantly would say that to me, but.
Minimalizing
just a mess, just like a mess.
I'm like, you want to take my 8 meds a day, 4 times a day, like have at it.
Yeah. Oh, you have a handicap parking permit. Oh, that must be nice. Yeah, okay. It's really fucking nice when I can't walk. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway
So yeah, watching a lot of TV, Seeking Sister Wife fit right in with this. So we'll just start with the elephant in the room, or the special anointed child. Garrick and Danielle Merrifield had a baby girl. They announced that they were pregnant on this episode and then subsequently posted these pictures of her. Now you heard it here. We talked about it last week.
We did.
So, while I don't dive into, those kinds of things anymore, sometimes they do happen.
Let's talk about how she looks exactly like Garrick with the big eyes looking.
Oh God.
But she's cute. She's really cute. But I'm saying like her face is exactly.
She is Garrick. A remarkably cute baby considering that she does look remarkably like her father.
Yeah. No DNA test needed for that one.
No. Oh, poor tortured Danielle. I don't even know where to start with this episode because there was so much.
Do you want to start with the terrified family? I grouped it by families this time again. I feel like we need to save the terrified families for last.
Do you want to explain where that's from, Lexi? Because that made me laugh so hard.
Long story short, I was getting Microsoft for free when I was a student, and then they canceled my student email, and made me alumni. So they canceled my Microsoft. So I had to type into notes. Because I was going really fast.
She was
fast.
Using Microsoft Word because she's almost a Gen Xer.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even know. She's an elder millennial. So because she's an elder millennial.
We're Zennials.
Zennials.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, technically. I'm like typing and now words are like auto-correcting differently than they were in Word. So Merrifield corrected to terrified and Garrick auto-corrected to garlic. Yeah.
Would that work like garlic, like you use for vampires? Would that help keep the Garricks at bay?
Exactly.
Around myself. to protect myself.
According to the notes app, yes.
Right? From the Garricks of the world.
And I seriously tried typing Merrifield like 4 more times and it kept auto-correcting. And I was like, I'm done. It's terrified family.
It's the terrified family.
I'm done.
Do we want to start with the fake really bad scenarios?
Yeah, let's start with Nick. Only because it's only like one thing happened with Nick's family.
Right.
Let's just start there.
This is Galileo.
Yeah. I do have a question I have to answer after this. Basically, all that happened with the whole Nick and his family was they were sitting around a bonfire, didn't even make s'mores, so I don't know what the purpose was.
Oh, they did, though. They did s'mores at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Okay. See, I was typing, so I wasn't paying close attention.
Yes, they did.
Well, that's because it was like 2 seconds worth of, like, I have to burn this marshmallow within an inch of its life.
It's so melty.
Nick could pull out, like, the recipe since he has time to
I hope Nick Google. Pulls out, but no, he doesn't.
No. Nope. Nope.
I'll forever be 12.
Well, they're talking around sitting around the fire talking about the rage room and asking Danielle really if she's sure she wants to date another white.
Rage room. Can we call it something other than the rage room? Because there was nothing rage about that situation.
No.
The semi-frustrated room.
The break room. Except, break room. Have you all watched Severance on Apple Plus?
Yes.
The break room means something very different totally there. And it's been ruined for me.
Never seen it.
Oh, it's so good.
So good. And they're filming the next season. Anyway.
Yeah, that was like the gist of basically the entire conversation. And to answer your all's question that you asked me on Instagram, if I hate Ashley or Nick more, I would have to say that I hate Ashley more now. And that says a lot.
I could have guessed that. I could have guessed that. That's what
and
we
here,
going.
Yeah. Here, no, here's why. Okay, Ashley, Nick chooses not to work, right? And he chooses to whatever, but he still seems like he's nice, right? He's nice. Ashley has a job where she literally is supposed to help people that she's trained to do. And she's not compassionate, not empathetic. And it's the exact opposite of her like job title. That's what I think. And she's selfish, but we'll get into that later.
Okay. I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Her man's got cancer, y'all.
Yeah, that was a whole new twist on this thing that
They hinted at it a couple times where she was like, oh, I want to keep going with dating. And he's like, yeah, because of my health situation. And then they never expanded on it. And I was like, are they ever going to talk about that? And then here we are.
Right.
Right. Should we just go into that now since we're already talking about it?
Yeah.
Wait. We need to finish the Davises. So they're talking, right. The whole, like, the Davises. Okay. Are you ready to date? And this is probably like 3 hours after they filmed the not very rageful room. And they're like, okay, are you ready to date and get married or whatever? Cause she's going to like marry this woman, whoever it is. She's like, yeah, sure. She like puts on this happy face, but then in her interview, she's like, yeah, I'm still not sure. Like what, you know, like, oh, this isn't going to end well.
Yeah. It sounds like she's just really insecure and is happy and content in the place she's in. But is she really happy and content? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. But I don't know. I feel like Nick's like a smooth talker. Like, I feel like he's just, I mean, I don't listen to his bullshit, but I feel like, you know, he's got a lot to say.
The Fraudcast will be right back. And now back to the Fraudcast.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like he really does let his wives do the work. And he's not like creeping around like Justin and Garrick. Like those two rub me the wrong way. But I feel like Nick's more, you know.
He just likes having a harem of women listening to his thoughts. And whereas the other ones, there's all these levels of weird culty control and things that it makes it very much scarier and ickier.
I feel like if Shane needs a new kidney, Ashley would not donate to him if she was a match. That's what I feel like. Ashley like, good luck. Peace. That's what I feel like.
Interesting.
I think she's a cold-hearted bitch. I'm gonna keep
think
going.
We should go
Sorry.
There next, apparently.
Sorry. I'm very triggered right now after watching that. After watching this whole scene, I got extremely triggered.
Okay, so tell us about the scene and what was triggering.
Okay,
you.
So Shane meets
look at Pastor Becca being all pastoral care over there.
Right. Tell usually I'm on the other side of things, so I get to actually vent. Shane meets his friend at Charlie at a bar, and he's catching up with him and telling him about Sarah, how the date went, and his concerns about, you know, Sarah's dating past and how she kind of casually dated couples, but not anything serious. And then he brings up the fact that he's worried that the next woman that comes along is going to steal Ashley away from him, which I think is actually going to be a good thing, but that's neither here nor there. And I think it's a reasonable thought considering that's what has happened to his ex. And as we've seen the chemistry between Shane and him, it's not non-existent pretty much. He then brings up his cancer and how he talks about, and this is where it gets really emotional for me, as people you know, everyone I think here probably has been affected by someone with cancer. Mm-hmm. My mom having breast cancer and whatnot. And I've seen what everyone goes through. So the fact that he talks about his cancer and having like cancer on his kidneys that was removed, like partially removed on one kidney. But then now there's some sort of spots on the other kidney or something. That's what I got.
Like they still have to go in and do more on the other or something.
Right. And he said he's technically cancer free, but he's supposed to follow up with scans, right, to make sure that the cancer is actually gone. Now his wife is an MD. Okay. And he is 6 months behind on this scan. So she is pregnant, dating, recording a TV show, and putting all of her energy into these external, not important factors when her husband literally could potentially have, more cancer that they're not addressing. And she's sitting on the couch looking blankly into the room. And when he's confessing how upset he is, and he's like basically crying to her, sharing his emotions and his thoughts. And she, being a psychiatrist, who her job is to help people through emotional situations, is kind of just brushing it off and just staring blankly at the wall. So I feel like she can I'm like triggered right now. I'm shaking. That's how much I dislike her. So at least Nick is like a nice guy, even though I feel like he's lazy and whatever in a lot of ways. But I feel like she's just a cold-hearted bitch.
I feel like that was a lot to unpack.
Sorry. Like, yes.
No, like that's good. Like that's like, I feel like there's just like a lot. Like you hit on so many of the reasons that this whole thing is just bullshit, you know.
Like Becca? I can't imagine filming a show knowing my partner could potentially have cancer and not pushing him to get tested.
Becca?
Yeah,
it feels like your area of expertise.
So the dynamics in this relationship really confuse me. Like, I think so. He definitely unloaded more with his friend than he did with her, and possibly, and I don't know why that is, like maybe because they've had those conversations already together. I don't know. But like, you don't usually see two grown men in a bar and one of them is like sobbing his eyes out in the arms of one of the other ones. Like, right. That was really moving and something you don't usually see in like mainstream media. So I was kind of shocked that they kept that in and like didn't feel exploitative. Like it was very like, it felt very authentic. Which,
yeah, it did feel weirdly authentic.
Yeah, which is weird to say for reality TV. Yeah. But as someone who cried her eyes out on national television,
like, authentically.
Authentic. Yeah, you were the most authentic part of that show, Becca.
Thank you. But like it felt very similar to that in a lot of ways. Like it was very much like a release of some sort for him. And I felt like it might have been one of the few times he actually like let himself be that vulnerable that we've seen so far. So that part was, I was like weirdly proud of that part for everyone involved. I don't know.
Like we suddenly don't dislike Shane anymore.
I never disliked Shane. I never disliked him.
Yeah, I never disliked Shane. I don't like some things he says, but I've never disliked him.
See, I just said, I don't like what you said, therefore everything about you is terrible, which is so not an appropriate way to do anything. But that's what I do.
But that's how a lot of people watch these shows, right? Like if someone says like one thing that they don't like or they disagree with, They're like, oh, you're dead to me. but anyway, so like that part, I think, was really awesome. But then we go to like his conversation with her, and I will be with you, Lexi. That was weird. Like, she didn't cry at one point, but it felt weird. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. Felt
like it was edited in differently. Like,
I wonder if the conversation was just like butchered up with the editing, because I felt like a lot of it just didn't make sense. Like, the words made sense, but like the reactions didn't make sense. And I don't know if that's just her or like,
we've been saying that about them all season. And I just, it just occurred to me that we've been saying that about them every single episode or every single scene that they're in. And we say, maybe they're just not good on camera. And that could still be true. The more we see, are we like leaning into our confirmation bias that they're just not meant for each other at all?
Oh, I think they definitely are not meant for each other. The fact that he could hug and embrace his friend more than his own wife, like, that's your partner.
He's supposed to be a psychiatrist.
Exactly. There's like a thousand things that go against everything that the whole relationship. I'm just like, but you know, I get it. Editing is terrible, and I will give him that. But her mannerisms in general, the whole conversation was just her blah. It was blah.
I wonder if some of your deep-rooted, this hatred that you have, whatever, deep, what hatred might be a little, I don't know, a little strong for a TV character. But she's also in a profession that, like, you, similar to where you are, which requires caring and compassion and empathy and on a level that is greater than maybe your average medical provider.
You know, because you bring up a good point. Yeah.
You provide healing in a different way, but one that also requires a much more heightened level of compassion and caring that you possess and you hold to a certain standard. And you've mentioned this several times, because she's a psychiatrist. She's supposed to be somebody who we can sit and talk to, and yet she's so hurt and weird and robotic and all of this stuff. And I wonder if there's some of that, because you also were getting very judgy about her dating while pregnant, and you related to her as being pregnant, you know, and why are you dating and all this stuff. And I'm wondering if this is the same thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, I wanted to kind of like give her the benefit of the doubt. At first I did not, right? Then I was like, okay, let's see how this unfolds. And then it just took a turn for the worse. I was like, oh, and now her husband had cancer. What?
Yeah.
What? Like, how, what other things could happen? Like, what? I mean, yeah, as a medical professional, to me, it's just like, I just don't understand why she's not pushing the scans or anything. It just doesn't make any sense.
Did he clarify why he's delaying this? Because, I mean, I wasn't watching as closely as I could have been, because, you know, my brain right now, but it felt like he was delaying what he should be doing, but he tried to, maybe it sounded like it's because he was scared of the results, but maybe it sounds like he's delaying it because they've got too much else going on with all the filming. And if that's the actual case and they're just masking it as a, I'm afraid thing, which if that is the case, I totally understand. But if they're masking it because they're just doing it, they're filming.
Well, he made a joke about her pregnancy and like doctor's appointments and her dating. That's what I heard. I don't know, Becca, what did you hear? He's like, yeah. Well, she's pregnant. Well,
like they said a couple times, like he said he was scared, but then they also talked about like her stuff. So it was sort of left to the imagination. Like,
well, maybe is it the scene for next week that I remember seeing where there was somebody saying, well, you're pregnant and you're dating and you're filming and you're like, you have a lot going on. Are you sure you should be taking this on? This looking for a wife, right? Like, and she's like, yeah, bring it, you know? And I think it was a conversation with a friend or something, like whatever the preview was right. You've got all of these things happening. Are you sure you should be taking this on? And she was just like, fuck yeah, I do. And Lexi, you're shaking your head. And I think they're like, that's where some of this judgment comes in. And I think it's honestly warranted in a lot of, and I don't want to judge other women, but you are talking about somebody whose spouse has a health sort of crisis going on. And that should probably be a little bit more of a focus than you dating on a TV show when all of the dates are obviously fake anyway.
Right. Well, and I get fear is a real thing. And I totally understand denial or fear, whatever mm-hmm. is going on in his mind as to why he doesn't want to go back and do the testing. But she's literally a psychiatrist. Like, she should be teaching him the tools or getting him the help that he needs or doing something. And instead, she's just sitting on the couch and you being know, like, oh, yeah, I'm dating.
I want to ask a question about that, because like there was at one point where he was talking about his fear of like when it does come back. Right. Because his whole conversation about the disease is that like it's he's in remission, but like it could come back at any time. Mm-hmm. And like all like I was sitting there thinking like, you know, it'd be really good for you. Therapy.
But you know, what's funny I was about to say about that is because his conversation with his friend, he was bringing up big therapy words and phrases. So he clearly has been therapized either by his wife or by other professionals, right? He's been in therapy.
I believe he was probably manipulated by his wife.
I think he was
manipulated by his wife. I think she threw out terms, and I think she's a manipulating, lying sack of shit. That's what I think. Ooh. Earmuffs, daughter. She's asleep anyways wow. now. But no, I think she's probably like, this is, I just can see her manipulating. I don't know. I read people really well and I do not get good vibes from her at all.
Well, and he said that he's never gone to therapy. Remember when they were right. having that fake date with Grace?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So he's never gone to, like, according to that conversation, yeah. he's never gone to therapy, which is weird to me considering that he had a bout with cancer already.
And but, well, he probably
and is married to a psychiatrist.
Well, maybe though. I mean, he clearly knows all these therapy buzzwords and stuff. So whatever is happening, whatever conversations he's having with his wife are kind of like he's being therapized by his wife. You know what I mean? Like he clearly like if he's not been to actual therapy, but he knows all these things, he's learning it somewhere. And Lexi, like you said, maybe there's this manipulation and stuff like.
I just think she's a narcissist. I just like, I don't know. There's like this, I have no evidence of that. That's just my opinion.
Just your gut level reading. No, I get it though. I get it. We try to also do it with the caveat. Oh, okay. You know, it's reality TV and who knows what edits and cuts and this and that and the other thing. With all of that said, she's a fucking psychopath.
She's like the doctors that get into being in that profession that are just absolutely awful. She's the ones that don't believe you when you come in with pain, both of right. you. When you, she's the doctor you go to, even though she's a psychiatrist, and you're like, I'm sick. And she'd be like, eh, you're okay. Right. Well, maybe it's, there's, I don't see a lab test.
Well, you're really, positive. You're really stressed. And
it's in
and
your head. It's anxiety. That's
what I'm really stressed and anxiety. You have a baby and you know, it's this, what, that, and the other, whatever.
Yeah. She's the one to diagnose fibromyalgia without doing anything else. Sorry, that's a whole nother topic for another day, people. I've got a lot of no. Can I tell you a quick story? What happened to me? You know what? I don't even know if I can. Never mind. Yeah, no, I can't no, violate
nope,
it. But,
nope, but nope, nope. That's a
let
whole
me tell
different.
You, the West...
No, because no. I know where you want to go with that comment.
No. It's not where you think I'm going.
Oh,
it's not
okay.
Where
I think I'm going. All right. Well, I'll
share a story instead.
Yes.
When I went to a neurologist, and they did a bunch of tests. And at the end, I had like weird results that they didn't know what to do with. And so they were like, we can just give you a prescription for like an anti-anxiety med. And that was their answer. And I was like, no, thank you, please. Also, like I had weird results because I'm pretty sure I have this other disorder that's affecting all different parts of me, but none of you talk to each other in Western medicine. So right. none of my specialists will ever put it together.
Correct. Oh my God. I had a
and here's your gabapentin for your neuropathy yeah. and your pain. Yeah. Which is a whole
my yeah. neurologist, I had my appointment with him and he's fantastic. And you know, I was talking to him about some of these symptoms that I'm you know had and some of my experiences in Western medicine as a patient with chronic pain who's been chasing the sources of her chronic pain for years. And it turns out they're probably all MS related. And my neurologist is, and I'm telling him sort of the Reader's Digest version of the particular situations. And he's like, and none of these providers ever considered that it might be part of your MS. Like nobody. I'm like, no, nobody. I said, the best care I get right now is from my acupuncturist, my doctor of oriental medicine. because she treats me as I am. Look, I walk in and I say, this is hurting today. This, I don't know why this, but I say, these are all the weird things that are happening in my body today. And she treats that, you know, it's just like, you know, and he's like, totally got it. You know, he did say, he's like, oh, that must be really good acupuncture. I'm like, because my acupuncturist is in Annapolis. He's in Maryland also. It was very funny. It must be really good if you go there for. I was like, absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like this podcast has become like the more you know.
Right. I know, right?
Oh my god.
Anyway.
That's true. Yes. But yes. Back to Ashley.
I'm gonna start calling her Trashley.
No.
I don't even care anymore. I'm not being nice. She doesn't. I'm in a mood. I took DayQuil too, so I'm all out of it. But anyway, that's. I don't know. That was it. I mean, that was pretty much. I think that was the whole scene with them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was the other thing I wanted to point out that I thought was really interesting is I feel like, oh, we know their reason more now. So, like, we've been speculating as to why. Suddenly, like, why they're so insistent on having to do this when he doesn't necessarily seem into it, but he's very supportive of somebody, you know, finding his wife, finding somebody else and all of this stuff. And she's clearly very, very interested in exploring sexuality and wanting very strongly, obviously wanting a, not a sister wife, but a wife. Because they possibly have another baby too, so that she has somebody in case something happens to him. Like he was like, right. I want Ashley to be taken care of, and this is what she would want. So she wants a wife, not another husband. So,
So rather than making his wishes known that if anything happens, like please go on and date. Again, he's expending what little energy he has from fighting cancer to then stress, which stress is a number one trigger for all kinds of, you know, illnesses. Mm-hmm. So really she's not really supporting him, right? Because she's just stressing him out and making him emotional, and it's like, okay, I don't know.
I mean, I really did like when he was talking to his friend at the bar, and he's like, I don't think anybody's good enough for her and stuff. Like, it clearly he, you know, which obviously, you know, your mileage may vary, Lexi, as you're like, bar's not very
this
high.
This girl, he is whipped over this girl. She's.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we all agreed that he had much better chemistry with his, that girlfriend he was hanging out with at the pool. So. Do we want to talk about the fact that they did an AMA on Reddit?
Oh, Becca, yeah, Becca's got the screenshot. Yeah, Becca's got the receipts.
You want to hit the high points of that? They did an AMA on Reddit.
I didn't go through the whole. I mean, I'll be fair.
No, just a couple of the high points.
Yeah, let me pull them up. So, some of them made me laugh because they were exactly things like we had talked about. So, like one of the ones I started laughing about, like the very first one was like. Someone posted question for Shane, would you have been as receptive towards bringing in a brother husband as you were towards the idea of a sister wife? Same goes for Ashley. How would you feel if Shane asked to seek a sister wife instead of his own? And then Shane wrote, it would have been a conversation just like this one was seeking a wife for her, but ultimately I would have agreed. And then someone comments, how is a wife for her a sister wife? That's just a wife, which is literally what we've talked about. And then she wrote, I have zero interest in another man, all filled up there.
So. Well, you're pregnant what you will. Again. So clearly he filled you up with the holy jizz.
So this was actually one of Katrina's questions, one of our earlier podcasts, which I listened to on my 14-hour drive recently. Someone posted, you said in the first episode that the sister wife must be willing to have Shane's biological child. Is that something you still want? If so, how would it work? Specifically, would the sister wife be inseminated with Shane's sperm, or would it be a natural conception? Would Shane be the legal father of the child? And so they posted, if our future partner would like to have children, we feel strongly that we'd like it to be a biological child of Shane's. Given that they will not be intimate, it will be conceived by IVF or insemination. This would be something to unify the three of us. But if she doesn't want to have a baby, that's fine too. There you go.
So they're going to take a turkey baster.
So
they literally are going to turkey baster.
I mean, if they went and paid for it, it'd be 20,000 plus. Like, you know, hey, what's a little, you know, just a little.
But free. There are people who literally turkey baster it.
It's true. That is true.
You know.
Yeah. That's true.
So that answered that question, which we were wondering about, which is cool.
Yes.
And then someone posted, what are your opinions on Garrick?
Oh, this is the best question.
Oh, it was so good. And they responded, not here to talk about other cast members, smiley face. And then the original poster said, damn it, A for effort. And then someone else wrote, did you just give yourself an A for effort? I mean, no doubt we all agree 'twas worth a shot. And then someone else wrote, respectable answer, but boo.
That's about the most respectable thing she actually said. She set boundaries. And
then this
well,
is
she's
just
a narcissist.
Fun.
It's all about her, remember?
Well, yeah. And this is my favorite thread because it's just random. But like someone posted, if you had to pick someone from the show to be your sister wife, who would it be? And I'm assuming it was Ashley. She didn't say. Sometimes they say if it's specifically Shane, and sometimes
who's responding,
yeah. Right. I'm assuming it's her. But they wrote Danielle Merrifield or April Davis, smiley face. And then someone wrote, please go rescue Danielle Merrifield. And then someone else wrote, and someone wrote, Danny would be so happy with Shane and Ashley. And then someone wrote, hell, go rescue Danielle Davis.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Oh my God.
So anyway, I'm sure there's a lot of other fun ones, but those were the highlights I saw.
That would be amusing. I would 100% watch Danielle. And like, I would watch a show where there was like...
The two Danielles.
Oh, from whatever their crazy captors or whatever. Speaking of crazy captors, do we want to go to, are we done with, did we finish them? Are we done with them? I think
we're, yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
The Alamo folks.
The Ryan family.
Oh, the Ryans.
All right, so Becky said it's been a few weeks since they decided to go stalk Stephanie when she told them to stay away.
Which really what it was. Continue. Yeah.
Right. And they decided to get back on the dating apps. God help all of the women that they're communicating with. Justin is getting ready for his date with this woman, Yari. And he did not tell her up front that he was the polygamist.
Because
I guess his
works.
Profile said like something about... looking for my second wife, which I'll even say sounds like my second wife. Like maybe the person got divorced.
Right.
Maybe
right.
They passed away. I don't know. That's a very generic statement. And Yari English is not her first language.
Yeah.
So to read that, I could totally get her misunderstanding what he was putting down. But anyways, he did tell her by the end of the first date, which I think is, I guess, admirable or something. I don't know.
Yes, sure.
But I do wonder, right? So like they pick up the filming on the second date. We didn't see the first date.
Right.
So I do wonder how pressured she felt to do a second date after that because of the filming.
Right.
My guess is it was like a phone call. Production was like, here, just talk on the phone and we'll just, you know, we'll make
P.S. I'm a polygamist. Surprise. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So keep this talking about the scene because I have thoughts.
Well, then he goes to the barber and then he goes back to Yari. But the barber, that whole thing was so staged as well. You know, like that
it's
guy was
the trope
like
of I'm going to talk to a random shopkeeper about my highly unusual situation on camera. Like,
yeah. And did you guys see
unsuspecting
like,
shopkeeper?
Yeah. He's like, I'm a polygamist, too. I'm like, oh, are you going to join the cast? Maybe you could be like.
I feel like he's more in the polyamory, not...
Yes.
That was my question, right? So, like, as we're defining these alternative family structures,
right?
Like, I wonder where the line is. Because what he described sounded to me like a polyamorous chain, right?
Correct.
Ethical non-monogamy.
Yeah.
So, like, at what point does that not be that and it's polygamy or vice versa?
Yeah, and this is something that we've touched on many times as we've discussed this season, right? Because, you know, what Ash Trashley and the Axe Thrower are seeking versus what the Ryans are seeking are kind of different. You know, we would classify, I think we would classify some of their behavior is more in the polyamorous range versus a seeking sister wife. As we've noted many times, it's just a wife that she's seeking. So given that, like, we kind of look at them differently, right? We look at there's the polyamorous and then the polygamous, but one is sort of they're part and parcel of each other. Kind of like you can be both. Like one thing, you know, they're not necessarily mutually exclusive and stuff. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, I would, anyway. Becca's looking at me quizzically.
No, I'm just, my brain is thinking also, because then, like, maybe this is just an old term and I'm old, but like, it used to just be like open marriage. And that was how people talked about it. But now, like, we have a lot more terms. So maybe people don't use that anymore. But, like, I'm also wondering, like, okay, I don't know, definitions in my head.
Right. And I think, I don't know, I think I would think about it in the way that, like, we used to think about maybe sexuality, right? Mm-hmm. You was straight or you're gay. And then bisexuality appeared, you know, but it was at least one of those things, right? You fit into this box. And now there's, like, you know, you're there's bisexual, there's gay, there's pansexual, there's, you know, all of the different things that all describe various forms of queerness, right? Of different preferences, but they all sort of fall under that umbrella of they're all queer, right? Open marriage, I think, you know, sort of is probably a little bit more antiquated, but under that now, like, all of these things would fall under that category. That's the overarching category, right? And now that we know more, there are much more definitions of things because there are more defined things, just like with sexuality and whatnot. So like, hold on a second. So with ethical non-monogamy, like this guy talks about, like you said, the polyamorous chain, right? He's got a partner here and he's got a partner there.
Right.
Because they all know about each other, you know, it's all ethical non-monogamy. Open marriages were like that too, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing. You know, it's just him calling it, he's a polygamist too. Well, I don't know. I mean, not knowing obviously that his intents to marry, but yeah, it does describe much more of a, what I would think of as just a polyamorous chain. But because the show is seeking sister wife and it's all about polygamy, they're got to fit everything into that bubble.
Right.
So anyway,
yeah. I think that was my confusion. Cause what he's like, oh yeah, I'm polygamist too. And I'm like, that's interesting. Cause that's not how I would describe what you're describing. Maybe I'm thinking about it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that's your confusion. I think that's just, they're choosing that language for the show, for the purposes of the show, because the show is about polygamists. It's not about polyamory generally.
Got it. Okay. That's all. But it twisted my brain into knots. Cause I was like, okay, where does the polygamy stop and the polyamorous chain starts? Yeah, no,
I think it was just, like, I think it was just them making the fit into the box.
Okay.
Fit into the box, Becca.
I don't do that well.
Good.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Then after that, Becky is having a conversation with him about, like, the expectations for the date. And she says, you know, no intimacy tonight. And he was like, well, what if I get drunk? And I'm like,
but you don't drink. Like, so funny.
Interesting.
Was that even supposed to be what was
that? It was awkward.
Was their attempt at a joke. Mm. Perhaps.
Yeah.
It was not
maybe good. He drinks when he's not around her. I don't know.
I don't know.
Is he like the old school Methodist that, like, just drink in the basement where no one sees?
Drink in the basement. Wait, what does that even mean? Tell me more.
Heard that before.
No, watching Lutheran porn or something.
No, 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 no. So, like, back in, like, this isn't really as much of a thing anymore, but like Methodists were pretty dry. Like they weren't drinkers, but like there was this joke that like Methodists only drink in the basement where no one can see.
Okay.
Anyway.
At least they're not in the garage, like with Mary. Like they throw out the drinking. That wasn't even funny. My mom grew up a Methodist. So I'm going to have to ask my mom. Yeah. Mom, did grandpa and grandma drink in the basement?
She wouldn't know. That's the whole point, right? They have to do it in secret, right?
That's true. You're right. I guess
so
not.
Fun fact, there is a town that is was founded by Methodists in New Jersey called Ocean Grove. And it is a dry town to this day. And it's right next to Asbury Park, which is like a party town on like the Jersey Shore. Nice. And so like we actually stayed in Ocean Grove. So like we would go like wander on the boardwalk where like all the stuff was happening and then come back and like sleep in the quiet.
Oh, that actually sounds kind of brilliant.
It was wonderful. It's also a really weird like conservative town still, so like they have like Bible studies and stuff during the summer, so you can either go party in Asbury Park or like hit up the Bible studies in Ocean Grove. It's so strange.
You know, okay, well if they've got churches, they've got AA meetings, so then I could just go to those and then not after those and not the Bible studies, but I'll go to my meetings. But yeah, I do love a nice quiet, you know, Airbnb and a quiet.
Yeah. I mean, we actually really enjoyed it. And that was like the first place I got recognized from the show and this like conservative Christian Jersey Shore town.
That's amazing. What happened?
So this is so random. I'm telling the story. So I should mention, like, if it hadn't been the middle of COVID when the show aired, I probably would have been recognized sooner.
Yeah.
But, like, this was the first summer where, like, people were actually out doing stuff. And we were standing online for ice cream. And this woman comes up to me. And she's like, oh, my God, are you Becca from Lost Resort? And I was like, I am. And she's like, oh, my gosh. She's like, thank you so much. She's like, I've always wanted to go on a retreat like that, but I feel like it's super stigmatized for Christians. And I was like,
that was not.
And I was like, well, you should totally go on a retreat like that. Like, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
Since I did, you know? And she was like, I also love that, like, you didn't take crap from people. She's like, most of the time, people think Christians are like doormats, basically. She's like, the fact that you stood up for yourself, like, that was a really big thing for me. And I was like, oh, that's really sweet. Thank you.
Aww,
so, anyway, Becca. random conservative Christian town on the Jersey Shore.
Oh, I love that. I love that story. Like, it's a feel good.
Yeah. Anyway, I did not expect to get recognized there of all places, but
you were getting ice cream. So, did I tell you guys? Oh, I think I better tell Becca this. My dog, Lunchbox. We always joke about him being a therapy dog because he's dumb as a rock, but he's looking at me. What, mommy? What? He now alerts to the sound of the ice cream truck in the neighborhood.
I love that so much.
So I could go out and get my ice cream.
That is therapy. That is therapy.
I'm telling you.
And like, that's you're a good therapy dog, Tony. Like, you found your niche. You found what it is. You could alert me to the sound of the ice cream man. There was an episode of like My 600-Pound Life where the guy was stupid excited about like the ice cream man, and he would get like bags of ice cream for the ice cream man every day. And now that's what I feel like.
I don't think you're getting bags of ice cream.
No, I'm getting an ice cream cone.
There you go.
Which is much better than me buying ice cream and keeping it in the house, because that's just game over. That's a transfer addiction issue.
Well, if you come up to upstate New York, a small cone is like huge.
Oh my God.
I saw your meme.
Your picture. Oh my God. I'm like, that's what I want. I get the twist with the sprinkles and it's like my happy place.
We are serious about ice cream up here.
Yeah. I do need to come up there, man. It's so pretty up there.
It is really, especially the summer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty all the time because, you know, winter is pretty too. But
yeah. You live in a very beautiful area of the country.
It's true.
I think we're planning to go to the Carolina Beach again this weekend or this summer.
Ooh.
So I think we're starting to plan that, which means I can also plan around that because that has to be planned with the kids in custody and the college kids and their, you know, and all that stuff. So when I get those things scheduled, I'll be able to work on seeing if I can schedule other stuff.
That'd be fun.
We'd love because to have ice cream up there would be lovely.
The Fraudcast will be right back. And now back to the fraud.
Hey, fraudcasters. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge. I know I've always had problems with it, whether it was the fit or the quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims, the maker of my perfect t-shirt bra. Now I have the perfect t-shirt to go with that bra. From either crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. My cotton jersey t-shirt is now a wardrobe staple for me. I reach for it almost every day, and the fit is so perfect because it snatches me right in at the waist. I've washed it a million times, and it's held its shape really well. It fits like a dream. I absolutely love it. And honestly, you guys, I thought, like, okay, this shirt is going to be too small for me, and it's not going to fit right, and all the bulges are going to show. But it doesn't at all. I put it on and it magically stretches to fit me perfectly, and it holds all those bulges in. Every little but last bulge that I have is all held in, and it looks fantastic. I absolutely love it, and it is super, super comfortable, and it is one of my new favorite t-shirts. You can shop the Skims t-shirt collection at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small up to 4X. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu.
Cast.
So we have a company named Stewart's up here, and it's like semi-local, right? Like they have
okay
franchises around, but it's very much an upstate New York company. And they make the most amazing flavors of ice cream. It's so good.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like almost all flavors. I have obvious favorites, but ice cream is much like cake for me, and that you like, even if it's bad, it's still pretty good to me. So
yeah, like we have like a Stewart's on every corner, basically. Like you throw a rock, you hit like four Stewart's up here. So hi, Kaya.
Oh, there's our sleepy Kaya. Anyway, so back to Seeking Sister Wife.
I love how we digress on this podcast. Well,
hence the title of the show, right?
That's you.
Okay. So now we're back. We're talking about who are we talking about next? Did we finish our last couple?
No,
they had to go on the date.
Oh, right. Okay. Where were we? Yeah.
Yari and Justin go on the date.
Oh, right.
And
funny faces, Mom.
You making funny faces?
Yeah.
You want to say hi? Okay. Hi.
So they go on this date. Now, this woman, poor woman, she has no idea what she's in for, because he's like, basically like, if you know, you commit to us, then you could go on this date. And she's just like, dude, I just wanted like a burger and a beer. Like, what is happening here? Like, suddenly I have to date his wife too? What is happening here? Like, that whole thing was so like, oh my God, that poor woman was like accosted. She had no idea what she's in for.
I feel like also because English is her second language, like, I feel like some of the stuff got lost in translation a little bit. Where
the
like,
nuance, yeah.
Yeah, and like I felt really bad for her because it was like hard to pick up on like what he was trying to throw down.
Yeah.
And then like the kissing situation was super awkward.
I was so triggered by that. Yeah. I honestly was triggered as fuck by that. Sorry, Kaya. I was triggered as hell by it because I don't like people ask. I mean, when I say I don't like them asking for to kiss, if I get a kiss, it's not a consent issue. Asking for consent to kiss me is different than what was happening here. Here, he was like, don't I get a kiss? Like he's entitled to it and some kind of like reward for being a good boy or whatever. And I'm very much of the belief that if a kiss is meant to happen, a kiss is sort of meant to, like, it'll happen. Like, I don't like if you have to ask me to kiss you, if I'm not like, I don't know. I feel like it's very, does that, I can't express the right words.
Well, and also it felt like she got pressured into kissing him.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. I feel like very pressured. It looked like
she was just fine with not kissing him. And then he kind of pushed her into it. And then, so she felt like she had to kiss him, and it just felt really like non-consenting
pressure. Yes. That's exactly why it was very triggering for me in that regard, because it did feel, it was very, very pressured. If you have to ask me to kiss me, it's probably because I don't want to kiss you. And so if you're asking me, then I'm going to feel obligated. And do I just be nice and not make a scene? And, oh, it'll just be easier than saying no. And maybe I do like him. And there's all those fucked up things that would go through our heads. Right. Totally. And so, yeah, that was very icky and gross and non-consensual to me.
Do you know what it reminded me of? So for my class that I'm teaching this spring, I'm reading a book called When Religion Hurts You, and it's basically talking about trauma responses, specifically when religion does it, but trauma responses in general too. And the author talks about the four major responses, and it's like fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. And fawn is basically like the people pleasing. And I was like, that's what it felt like to me. Like, yes. She was in the middle of like this really like not traumatic necessarily, but just like definitely like feeling threatened situation where the trauma responses happen. And she was like fawning because she didn't know what else to do.
100% describes my entire 20s experiences.
Right.
Everything.
As soon as I heard that, I was like, holy cow, that I'm in this book and I don't like it.
Everything about being a woman coming of age in the 90s. Honestly, women and the way women are viewed in the 90s is just awful, as I'm realizing now, having survived it.
Also, barely. You had to be super thin, but that's a whole other conversation.
That's a whole other thing. God. yeah, seriously.
But yeah, but it felt like that. It felt like she felt threatened and like she fell into the fawning because she didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. It was very weird. And then
raised to like not make a scene, to be easy, to be the easy one, to be the, you know,
anyway. And then in the interview, Becky said that she knew Justin was attracted to women in workout clothes and Arabic and Latina women.
And Arabic. And I'm like, she's not Arabic.
That was such a weird comment. And then I was thinking about how we were talking about like Garrick, like amassing his ethnically diverse harem.
Right. Oh my god.
Anyway,
Garrick and his arc of women.
Oh my,
because he has to repopulate the earth or something.
God help us.
God so, speaks to him.
Ryan's done. Yes,
are we done with Ryan?
I don't know, he was creepy. Move on.
Yeah,
all of it was
super creepy. So now we're going to the terrified family.
That's so amazing.
Okay, so 2 months since after Garrick popped the question. It's been 6 weeks since Garrick left for Brazil. 2 months since he popped the question, asking Natalia to marry him. He is in Brazil and Danielle is packing for Rio. She's going to go to their wedding that they're trying to actually do, but they're having some difficulties.
And maybe she'll go to the wedding.
Yeah, right. She felt like her focus had shifted. Like Natalia's focus had shifted from her to just Garrick, which we saw in the last episode. And that her and Garrick were communicating, but it was very basic communication, just about, you know, the kids and like basic life stuff. And she's like, well, we just need to do some soul searching. I'm like, sounds like he's doing the soul searching. You're playing mommy, but that's just me. I don't know how much soul searching you can do with two kids and, you know, whatever. While your man is out there having sex every day with a Brazilian woman.
So this scene opens with this little, you know, card, whatever. He's been in Brazil for 6 weeks. I'm like, oh, so he's been just doing fuck all, just fucking up in Brazil with Natalia. And we come to find out later, barely communicating with Danielle. Like, she might as well not exist because, you know, which, you know, he probably planned. So he doesn't have, let's make the relationship on thin ice before I go so that I don't have to deal with her back home while I'm in Brazil fucking Natalie or Natalia.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yep.
And then what, the sister-in-law or sister comes over and she's like, oh yeah, and by the way, I'm pregnant.
Right. Well, and then the sister-in-law says that their relationship was so bad that Garrick would call them and ask to come over and spend the night leading up to leaving for the trip.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So they were on rocky grounds, way rocky grounds for a while. We don't know how far along she is. She didn't tell us. And that wasn't, but she did look like her boobs were bigger. I noticed that.
But she looked tiny. She's still very tiny. And she's had a couple kids. So, you know, you always show faster with your later ones. So I've heard, so she couldn't have been, but so far.
Right.
She's wearing that little like crop top and stuff in that scene.
Yeah. Yeah. And Danielle is FaceTiming Garrick and he's like, I'm relaxing. I just get back from the beach. I'd punch a dude in the face. I wouldn't literally punch somebody, but like,
I would.
Yeah. Imagine him being like, I just got back from the beach and you're sitting there like morning sickness and pregnant
and trying to take care of kids while he's, you know, hanging out on the beach with.
So she keeps talking about what's she going to do if she ends up single, like a single mom. Right now, we know she's never going to leave him. Because of how she was raised, you know, obviously he knows this because he treats her like shit and he can do all of this stuff and act this way. She's not going to leave him, but she has to worry about him leaving her.
Yeah. Cause he'll be legally married to this woman that he's bringing over. Essentially that's their goal.
Yeah. And she's already legally divorced from him. So she has nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
I did find it interesting too, though, that she was like, I don't think I can come to the wedding. And he was like, oh, what do you mean? Like, that was his response.
Their conversation sounded so weird and so stilted and so like so different from his, like when they were planning the wedding with Bert, you know, it was like this huge family deal. Everybody was in on the plan. Oh, you know, they were doing the tours at the Mexican resort places. Oh, we could do it here. We could do it here. They were talking about the wedding planning together and all of this stuff. With this, it's like, you know, Danielle doesn't even know the date. You know, it doesn't sound like Garrick necessarily knows the date either because he's a dumbass. But, oh, yeah, he's been fucking around with her down there for 6 weeks because God told him to. Danielle just has to put up with it. And now she has to, like, decide whether she's going to go to their wedding or not. And he's like, I don't know. Okay, well, maybe me should come. I don't know. Maybe.
What I thought was interesting, and this harkens back to what we talked about, where she probably will never leave him because of their conservative upbringing. Conservative Christian upbringing,
right?
I should say. But she went into this whole thing about how, like, God was so clear when we got married. Like, I was supposed to be with Garrick. And so
I wanted
that's
to ask
why
you
never,
about this.
Right. And that's why she will never leave him, probably, because, like, that, like, she will always have in her head, like, God wanted us to be together. So that's what I have to do. So she will take all sorts of mistreatment. And still be with him because she believes that's what God wants.
That God wants her to be in this kind of relationship.
Yeah.
I think Garrick and Ashley should get together. Honestly, I think they'd be the perfect pair.
He would hate. No, he would not handle someone who's bisexual well.
Yeah, maybe right. That's not, it goes against his Christian beliefs. Probably.
Well, maybe though. Well, I mean,
or he might enjoy it. He might secretly.
There's questions about whether or not Danielle joins them, right?
Are there?
Or if the wife has to also have sex with Danielle? Because remember all the weird open mouth kissing her that she was trying to do, and then all the weird stuff that she had with Bert and everything. Like, there's some question as to whether or not Danielle also is trying to sleep with him.
You know, now that you say that, I have to think about this because. Yeah, what like sister wife would kiss the other one on the mouth and stuff?
Yeah,
it's
that
almost
was
Danielle. Like, yeah. Actually.
And from what I remember, there was a period of time after one of these seasons where a couple of people were reaching out saying that Garrick and Danielle, or that Danielle of Garrick and Danielle, had reached out to them on social media and like slid into their DMs, hitting them up, going, hey, are you interested in dating us? And if I'm remembering correctly, which I could very well not be given the state of my brain, but I thought I remembered them having something in there going, oh yeah, they communicated maybe that it would also be with her. Like they, you know, like there was something in the communication that made it ambiguous at best about their involvement with her, but I don't know.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I stand corrected then, perhaps.
Who knows? Who I think she'll knows? Do what I, she's going to do whatever he wants to do at the end of the day. I feel like if he wants to have a threesome, she's about it. If yeah, he wants that, her to be bisexual, yeah, be about it. Unfortunately, like it's not her decision, I don't think.
Yeah, whether she
wants to please him.
Yeah, whether she is engaging in acts with these other women, I don't think it would have been originally like her idea.
So do you guys want to talk about the phone call, the FaceTime when she tells him she's pregnant?
Because he could not look more uncomfortable.
Well, like it was like 10 seconds of him staring into the phone. Now, yeah. I will say that is shocking news. So if anybody gets that news, like try to process it, you know, some people take longer. So I was like staring at him, staring at her, and I'm like, oh man, this is going to be bad. But then he did have some nice supportive things to say after his serial killer looking eyes decided to stop being so creepy. He goes, well, that's a surprise. And then this is where it gets really weird. Well, children are a blessing from God, so it's a blessing. I definitely didn't expect that. Which
it's a blessing.
The way he said it, like, of course, like children are a blessing from God. But when Garrick says it, it sounds like he's raising children of the corn or something.
Seriously.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, he was like, yeah, like hey, children are a blessing. You know,
fucking
like,
Megan's gonna come out and start dancing and murdering people or something.
Seriously. yeah. I think like it felt like he was like, I mean, it took him a while to process, obviously unexpected. Like he's like, he seemed like a deer caught in the headlights, like, oh my God. Oh shit. Well, I'll say the thing I'm supposed to say, which is children are a blessing from God. And then later he probably, you know, can come to it or whatever is, oh, look, another member of my cult, but it's a girl. It turns out it's a girl. So I don't know how that
I had like all the feels when I found out that it was a daughter, like you told us, Katrina, but when I saw the picture, I was kind of just like, only because we all know.
Yeah.
About women and the religion, as we've discussed in every episode.
I kind of felt like, though, so I feel, you know, like Danielle is so trying so hard to have this relationship with sister, right? And that she was so devastated because, you know, she obviously doesn't have a loving, nurturing relationship with her husband. So at least having this other person you had a loving, nurturing relationship with was good. So that's clearly what she is looking for and needing so desperately, and that she's not getting from Natalia. I fear now she's going to project all of that onto her daughter, and that's going to be her soul, like everything.
Mm.
Because she can't get a real relationship with her husband. I don't know.
Yeah. And then they left the conversation like, Garrett talked about, well, I'd love for you to be here at the wedding. Cause she's like, I don't know if I can do it, you know, cause she doesn't want to fly while she's going through all of her feels. I'm assuming she didn't really get into why she didn't think she could make it, but I'm assuming it's because she's an emotional wreck trying to process everything and be a mom. And
then coming to this relationship where she says she basically feels like the third wheel, like I'm going to their wedding versus it being she's joining our family.
Right.
And that's clearly
it should be an event for all of them, right? Like, because all the weddings we've seen on the show have been like all of them marrying each other, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did Lexi fall asleep? Oh,
I'm about to needle my face to drain out the fluid.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, well. Oh, so you're laying back because of your sinuses. I'm like, did you just fall asleep? Yeah. So yeah, this whole thing got real weird real fast. But again, we see previews where they're courting another woman. So how they get from where they're at now to that next scene, I'm like, what is happening?
I really want to know what happens. Like, that's all that's been in my head since we saw that preview.
Can we take bets on what happens?
We're going to be wrong, I feel like.
I feel like what's going to happen is Garrick's going to come to the realization that Danielle really is not doing well. And he's actually going to have some sort of conscience and decide to postpone the wedding and come home. And then they regroup and decide what to do. I don't know.
It's going to be Natalia saying, I don't want all this bullshit.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think she wants her green card. What does she care if she's pregnant or not?
Well, yeah, I don't think she gives a shit about any of that.
Do you think they actually get legally married?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Wait, Katrina, did you use your research investigative skills to find out?
If I used my research, I have a dog that's now alerting to the neighborhood ice cream truck. Do you think I'm doing my
I know you've watched Below Deck all day, so I'm assuming no, but
no, I watched a lot of Trials today too, because there was a lot
I can't type stuff. But you know, can you ask Siri? I don't know. can you
what am I investigating? yeah, no.
If they really got married.
Oh yeah, I'll go. I'll see what I can find. Maybe.
I'm just kidding.
Because we did see her in the previews. Like, it showed Natalia being like a lot has changed.
Yeah.
So
We see in the scene with the new date that Danielle's not wearing the vagina necklace.
Oh. Right. We all know Garrick had this date lined up while still in. He was probably on the dating apps in Brazil looking for a new Brazilian wife with a, you know, a radius of like 5 miles. Like,
on his, yeah, all 10 dating apps that he clearly needs to talk to, what's his name, Mr. Ryan about, because, you know, he has problems finding women on the polygamous sites. So he clearly needs whatever apps Mr. Garrick is using, because Garrick has all kinds of women. You know, just begging to be his wife. No.
I'm wondering if he has some sort of game that we just don't see. You know what I mean?
No, I think he goes after these vulnerable women who don't speak English, that are vulnerable for a variety of socioeconomic reasons. And he offers them this, that, and the other thing and whatever. And then they play their game. We see it all play out all the time on 90 Day Fiancé, right? Everybody plays their role that they need to play the role until it's no longer tenable and one of them takes off.
True, true. Definitely.
You know, she just maybe she can't, you know, she isn't going to get married. You know, she just decides she can't legally commit to this fool.
Or it'll be a technicality, like they literally can't get married because of the government. Remember, they were having some issues. Because
Garrick screwed up. Yeah, but she's a lawyer.
He probably didn't even want to get married. He probably just wanted to go bang her for 6 weeks and come back. He probably messed up the paperwork on purpose.
He's such a dumbass.
He's such a typical man, though, like in that sense. True. I bet you that's what happened.
It's true.
He got his fill. He got his vacation. His wife gave him the green light. He got to live his life for 6 weeks.
Sure.
I don't know.
Was anyone else like 6 weeks is a really long time?
Yes.
Was I what?
Yeah, that 6 weeks is a really long time.
And just yeah, no, that's horrible.
Yeah,
6 weeks.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
Especially when you have young children, and well, yeah, you're now a pregnant wife. But I mean, obviously, if she's fine, if he's been gone for 6 weeks and she just found out she's pregnant. They obviously doinked right before he went to go off to Doinkville.
Right. Yep.
I'm really surprised. Like, how could this be? I've been gone for 6 weeks. Who are you sleeping with? Nope. Sorry. That baby looks just like you, Garrick. That is not the milkman's baby. anyway, so yeah, so the Merrifields, I mean, like,
Anyway. Terry Fields.
Terrified family.
Terrified family.
Yeah, I'm terrified to see how this one, where this one goes next week. But I was going to say, did you guys catch that on her phone, how she had him listed on her phone?
No.
No.
Douchebag?
My beloved protector.
Oh, gosh. I need to go barf. Hold on. If that tells you everything you need to know about conservative Christian culture.
Protector, there you go. Nothing.
There you go.
He's done nothing to protect her.
My beloved protector, who is not protecting her.
Who's literally gone for 6 weeks in Brazil.
Yeah.
That's a really long time. He certainly didn't protect her when he decided to Jesus jizz inside of her.
She's been anointed with Jesus jizz.
There was no protection happening there.
No, there was no protection.
Between the blood-brain barrier and where the sperm went and laid his DNA.
Yep, now she's got his DNA in her brain. Jesus DNA.
Is that like the more they have sex, the more that gets in there, does she eventually like become a clone of him? Does she have so much of his DNA that she's like part of him?
I mean, she looks, yeah, maybe. She starts turning into him. Oh, God.
No, that's how she got pregnant, because it got so filled up that it just became a baby.
Oh my God. That's disgusting. Sorry. Oh my God. We're corrupting the pastor, Becca.
I'm surprised the sperm actually work, because he moved so slow. I'm surprised the sperm moved quick. He is slow. He's just like, what? He's got some swimmers. I wouldn't have expected that.
Well, they got two other kids before that, so clearly it's not an issue.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. But in any case, every time Pastor Becca busts out with some something it's like Jesus does, I'm just
we need to make a reel of like all of the inappropriate to like her, you know, not in a
shocked and appalled. My ears, I'm clutching my pearls.
I don't Becca own pearls. Out with I have no pearls to clutch.
Becca coming out with the jokes.
I'm sure Garrett could give you a pearl necklace.
Oh no!
With this Jesus,
no.
And on that note,
I think
it's time to say goodnight. I'll leave you all with that.
Oh my gosh.
Awful.